Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Wake Up with Jenny and Friends. I hope you had an amazing week and a great weekend. Big shout out to our sponsor, Monkey Knuckles, monkeyknuckles.ca. Check them out, the best in brass knuckles legal in Canada to use. Use code JENNYS15 for 15% off your order. And thank you to Scorch Marker. Coming up soon, you'll see some details about that. So I'm super excited to have them on board. Thank you so much. I am very excited about my guest today. One and only Heads Up. How are ya?
Hey, how you doing? pleasure to, you know, meet you. Even through Zoom, pleasure.
So great. Likewise, so great to have you on the show. I'm glad it all worked out. Yeah. This is a true Wake Up with Jenny and Friends today. I am just freshly awoke in my sweats and kind of a lazy day today, which I think sometimes we all need that.
100%.
Yeah. And how was your weekend?
You know what? I'm just kicking it like you are. I'm keeping it cool. You know, I'm just on the couch watching shows. I'm not doing much at all this weekend, to be honest. I'm gonna get to the pen and pad later, work on some music and beats, and that's about it.
I love that. So tell our audience, for those of the audience members who don't know you, which I don't know who doesn't know you, but tell our listeners who you are, what you're all about, and what you're up to, bro.
So yeah, my name's Heads Up. I'm a producer. I'm a rapper. I've been in the game 15 years. More underground, boom bap bars type shit. But my production's more like funk. Mm-hmm. Beats, Memphis vocals. I'm pretty versatile, to be honest. So if you want to check me out, my Instagram is at @HeadTopOfficial and the E is a 3. So make sure you do that.
Absolutely. So it's a unique way that you spell your name on Instagram, and we'll shout out all your stuff at the end of the show too, so people can find you and stuff. But tell me how you got into music. Like, where did that all start for you?
So I'm in a lot of different genres, right? So I started out with rock when I was probably, early teens, a lot of EDM. Mm-hmm. And then I got into like 90s hip hop, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of Mobb Deep, a lot of Jedi Mind Tricks, a lot of underground shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of the lyrical 90s shit. I just went from that. The first song that got me to write my lyrics was actually Eminem, Rock Bottom.
Okay.
I don't know if you know that one.
Nice.
It's more about his life. It's more about mm-hmm. his struggles and all that. And I was dealing with my own shit too, right? So I don't know. I just thought about it. I'm like, maybe I'm going to try and pick up the pen and try and write something down. And that was the very first song that got me to write. And just from then on, I couldn't stop writing. It was like an addiction.
Yeah, he's so interesting. I think he's a genius. I know he caught a lot of flack when he first came out.
A lot of people are obviously inspired by him.
Yeah. He's one guy that stayed real true to himself and true to the game.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He is just by far and away a lyrical genius. I mean,
he's a beast.
That guy can rap and rhyme any fucking word, anything. It's insane. Yeah.
Excuse me. And it's just storytelling too, right? So that's what got me to like release what I was going through. I was like, maybe I could like paint a picture and tell my story too, right? Mm-hmm. So that inspired me a lot. Was that one song, Rock Bottom by Eminem.
Yeah, and I think that's so true for music, because it really is about like real. I know, like, you know, there's some beat catchers out there, some like, you know, like, what do you call it, in the moment songs, like the one hit wonders and stuff that's got mm-hmm. a catchy beat and a catchy tune. But when you hear it, listen to a song that has a story behind it and really has meaning, like, yeah, it's so meaningful, and it speaks to its audience on a different level, don't you think?
Yeah, of course. And that's what I'm trying to do with my music, you know what I mean? I'm trying to help people through their situations. I'm trying to, you know, have people relate to either my story or a story that I'm kind of making up, because like with a lot of my songs, I'll kind of make it like a short novel, like for your ears, you know what I mean? I'll come up with a story in my head that maybe someone else in this world is going through. put myself in their shoes and turn it into a song. You know what I mean? And then they could relate to that and then, you know, to help them through things, right?
Yeah.
So it's either from my perspective.
Sorry, I got some dogs.
Something that I'm going through. So, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say for people who are listening and watching, we are using Zoom right now, and Zoom is a little sometimes unreliable here. So if I interrupt you, if it freezes a little bit and I interrupt you, I apologize ahead of time.
No worries.
I got a few little doggos in the background too.
Some noise. My dog's out there. I shut the door. So we good.
Yeah. So you were going through some stuff and did no real outlets, but you came across this music. And how you know how did that feel to finally discover, like, say, oh my gosh, I have an outlet now, like I should take advantage of this, like how do you, because you have to have a little bit of confidence, right, and to do that too, you got to say, okay, well, yeah, I could write something, I could do this, like maybe this is a way for me to filter through what I'm going through, to navigate, you know, my feelings.
Yeah, 100%. I was very artistic. I still am artistic. You know, I like painting, I like drawing. I was very into, like, I'd be in my room, you know, blasting hip hop. I'd be drawing comic books and I'd like staple them together to make the book, like pieces of paper, you know, and like that was my way of expressing things, right? Just drawing and, you know, painting the picture of how I feel. And after I started writing, is like a different element of doing that, right? And it just felt good. And then all my boys are like, yo, that's pretty sick, man. Like, you're kind of a natural with it. And then from then on, I just started digging for more beats. So I rapped over like industry beats. A lot of my boys started rapping with me. So that was cool, right? And it just became something. You know, I like ended up with my two boys doing a little hip hop group, like Mental Violence. We started our own thing.
Nice.
And I don't know, like, I just portrayed myself as like a character, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was fun. Now it's different from when it was, but yeah, it was definitely fun. Still is.
Do you feel like it's the same sort of process like an actor goes through when they portray a character for a role? And yeah, you're able to express yourself in a different kind of way, but having those parts of you in your music?
Yeah, exactly. Like I just said, like I was, you know, pursuing myself as more of a character, and I was talking about different things, a lot of like violence, and like, I wasn't such a violent person, but I've always been into the villains, not the superheroes.
Mm.
So when I was writing lyrics, I was going very dark and deep and brutal and shit like that, you know. Mm. Now more of myself and how I feel, and, you know, being a good father, a family man, you know, like taking care of my shit,
mm-hmm,
but also like still having dope metaphors and all that, you know what I mean? So yeah, I progressed, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a process. It's a cathartic process, because you kind of get a lot of that out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of a creative therapy in
a sense. 100%. It's just growing, you know, evolving yeah, with music.
Do you look back on your older stuff and think, okay, I remember where I was at that time, I remember what I was thinking at that time, like I remember what I was going through? Do you, like,
most of the time I'm like, what the fuck?
yeah. And you see your growth,
a
right?
A lot of times I'm like, what the fuck did I just say? Yeah. I still have all my old CDs, man, and just to go back and listen to those are just, it's a whole vibe. It does bring me back to, like, you know, like when I recorded those, it was before I even like found a studio. So me and my boy would be like here with like a laptop and, you know, those little dinky mics that you attach to your computer, like just a little, like, it looks like a fucking, like a straw or something, you know?
Yeah.
And we had to record the song in one take. So it just brought me back to the moments of like frustration and just, I don't know. It was a whole vibe. It was good times, but
the startup.
Yeah. It's a lot easier now than it was, man. I don't have to do everything in one take anymore. So
yeah, absolutely. What was the draw for you towards rap as opposed to a different genre of music? What do you think that was?
I don't know. I guess it was just a lot easier to write music than pick up an instrument and
yeah.
But I feel like with instruments you have to have a lot more patience. I do know how to play the drums, but that also took a while, but I'm not crazy with the drums, you know what I mean? I've tried to produce a bit of EDM. Mm-hmm.
And can you explain that for audience, the audience members who don't know what that is? Can you explain that?
EDM. Sorry, EDM?
Yep.
Oh, so electronic like music, like house and trance and all that. I've always been into like any type of genre, any type of music that like just hits me and like I zone out, and you could just go out for a late night cruise and like you get goosebumps when the beat drops. That's what I'm into. Yeah. So anything, any genre, any style of music, that's what I look for. So I always try and aim towards a deep, dark side of trying to create anything, whether it's whether it's music. I always give it a shot, you know what I mean? But with hip hop, I've always stuck to the writing and producing.
Yeah. And what's the difference for you when you're writing something as opposed to producing something? Like, is your headspace different? Is your, like, what's your goal? Is it a different goal? Like, where are you at in the two?
Yeah, I'll honestly do, like, this is what I've realized. Mm-hmm. I will usually take, like, a month of writing because I'll be in writer's mode. And then all of a sudden I'll get, like, a writer's block and I'll be like, all right, well, you know, maybe I feel like making it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll produce for like a monster. So I'll kind of hop back and forth to it, you know what I mean? Which is cool because it's kind of good to take a break from writing, because then your mind's clearing up. You come up with, you just come up with more ideas. And then when it comes back to writing that next month or whatever, you just drop a whole shitload of just fire.
Yeah. What's the spark for you for ideas? Is it just like something you see, something you hear? Like, because I know each artist is different. And for a lot of them, there's a particular place that they like to go to write. It's inspiring for them. Some just write on the fly. Like if they're walking down the street and they see something, it sparks, you know, something in them. Like what's that impetus for you?
Just while I work, honestly, my mind just goes. Like I listen to a lot of music while I work, so I get very inspired by other artists, you know what I mean? Not like I'm saying not take their ideas, but like just kind of taking what they're saying and maybe I could put that in a different perspective, or you know what I mean? Like a lot of artists inspire other artists, you know? Like Mobb Deep was my favorite growing up. And I've always went to their style of production when I'm trying to write, or I'd put it in a poetic form when I'm writing, just like they did in the 90s, you know what I mean? So, yeah, rest in peace, Prodigy, but that guy is my all-time favorite artist. Havoc is one of my favorite producers, too. So Havoc, he produced, like, the dark style of hip-hop, the grimy style. And they both rap, but Prodigy just had that gritty, grimy, poetic style that no one could top to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that you said that. It really is a labor of love and a poetic justice there, because you have to find, songwriting is different than just speaking, just different than just telling a story. You know, if you're writing a novel, you're writing a book, it's totally a different process than writing a song, because it has to have some kind of, you know, rhyming, matching beat involved that has a certain ebb and flow to it, right? I mean, it has to fit together in a way that's different from just you and I having a conversation, right?
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting process to go through. When you're writing a song, and how long does it usually take you to write something? And are you ever satisfied with it on the first take, or do you go over it?
So the way I write my songs is I'll come up with an idea, obviously a concept in my head. Obviously I'd find the beat first. Okay. Sorry. So I'd go.
Yeah. Like beat, what's your process?
I'd find a beat. I'd think of a concept in my head, and then sometimes I think of the song name before I even start writing, so I could go off of that, or I just name the song at the end. But usually what I do is I start it off, and each bar that I write, I'll start off the song after I write it, and then spit the song from when I finished. So every single bar, every single line that I write, start back up again, see how it sounds all the way through. And then I'll go like, and I'll just do it by that, because like you said, there's so much of a process to writing a song. It has to, you know, it has to ride the beat properly. It has to make sense. You can't put too many syllables in one line.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just can't overdo it. So you got to perfect it. I'm a perfectionist. You know what I mean? I don't just talk about bullshit
and
put anything on the beat and be sloppy with it. Mm-hmm. That's why I go back to the top of the song and then I just go to wherever I stopped so far. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think you're totally right. It's a fine line between being detailed enough in the lyrics that people feel something from it without putting too much into it. Cause then it's just like a bunch of words that you can't really comprehend to a beat. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to be careful that you don't overwrite in a sense. Right. But you also don't want it to be too simple that it's just like, just a bridge, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's like, you know, it's the worst thing is like hearing a great song. It starts off really great and, you know, it's got a couple of, you know, lines and it starts off really great. And then the rest of the song is just, the next three songs are just repeated over and over and over again. You're like, what the fuck? We get it. You're going to the store.
Definitely a lot of stages. Yeah. It honestly took me years to even find my rap voice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And perfecting my style.
How do you develop that?
It's just, I don't know, it just comes naturally. Like it's not like I tried different voices. It's just as I grew and I progressed and, you know, I evolved with my music, your natural voice just picks up your new flow, I guess. And then they just come together, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the past 2 years, I really feel like I found my voice and the perfect flow that I want. So
that's incredible.
And that's like 15 years of doing music. So
yeah,
it's just pretty wild.
Yeah. It doesn't come overnight. Yeah, for sure.
No, it definitely doesn't.
Yeah. Are there things that you do to take care of your voice? Like, do you do, I know some of the biggest rappers in music, they actually take voice lessons. Not a lot of people know that, but you know, they just to open up their range and stuff. But are there things that you do to take care of your voice and to make sure you're on top of your game?
You know what? I feel like artists that do that, they do a lot of like really big performances and shows where they need to like really keep their voice box clear and all that. For me, I think it's more of a breathing thing. I guess the style of rap you do, like if you're more lyrical, you're more quick, you got to focus on your breath, right? Breathing.
Yeah.
And also pronouncing shit clear, right? So
yeah.
I don't necessarily do anything to like help my voice, but before I do a show, I'll take my deep breaths and, you know, try and get my lungs stretched out, because the breathing part is hard. And another thing is a lot of artists, the artists these days, they like to, when they perform, they like to rap over their own lyrics. So they'll just play their song and then they'll rap over their lyrics. I don't do that. I don't fuck with that.
Mm.
I feel like a performance should be a performance of you rapping your lyrics on a mic, not over your lyrics. It's just, yeah. So like, for me, that it's a lot more breathing.
Like raw and just natural, as opposed to like recorded and like lip synced, basically.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the real intention of going to see someone in a show or at a concert, is you want that natural, that raw, you know, feeling of how do these people really sound? How does this, what's the vibe really like? What's the music really, the intensity, right? Because the music and the beat have an effect on your blood pressure, on your mood, on the way you feel. And every beat is different. It can elevate your heart rate. It can calm you down.
100%. Yeah, definitely right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of the energies. Like you said, like if you go from a hype song to a, you know, a mellow track, you can take a breather. So that's a good thing about performing, because you could pick your set where you could kind of drop down and relax a bit while you're rapping, right?
Yeah, I love that. Is your process different from when you're writing and creating and putting a song on track to when you're going to be doing that same music in a show live? Like, do you have a different mindset of where you want to take things and how you want to put them out there? Like, is it going to be a carbon copy in your live show of what's on the track, or do you switch things up a little bit? I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah, when I do a song, it's I don't really think about performing it. Like, I know I'll be able to perform it properly, but that's more when it comes down to the mixing and mastering, because then my engineer, he could put the drops in the beat, and then I could think of, like, when I perform that, what I could do during that drop, or if there's, like, a break, I could kind of work with the crowd, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But while I write, it's just, no, that doesn't really cross my mind when I write.
Yeah, that's another thing too, eh? Because I guess like every show is different that you do because the crowd is different. It's kind of like comedy, right? When you put together a set and you go to one comedy club and you crush it and you kill, and the audience is like all about it, and then you go to another club and you just, like, it's fucking crickets out there. You're like, nobody's getting the jokes, nobody's picking up the vibe. Yeah. And you're like, well, this not is so. This fucking blows.
No, I don't even know how comedians do it, man. Like, that's crazy shit.
You know, so I would assume that quite similar at a concert sometimes when you're, depends on where you are, depends on who your audience is, right?
Yeah it's a whole different vibe when there's music behind you, though.
Yeah.
Because it's just like all right, you get hyped. Like, if you're a comedian, I'm just standing there like in the silence and I'm telling a joke, I'd be like, okay, I'm gone, man, I can't do this shit, you know what I mean? But if I'm coming out, I have my music, and I'm just like, all right, y'all ready, already? Like, I'm getting hype with the crowd. It's my job to hype up the crowd even more, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm going to feed off the energy of the crowd and the music.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I don't know how comedians do it. Salute to them. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's not an easy lifestyle. But do you find, like, so when, if you notice that certain things don't work in a set, you know, if you're on stage or the reaction you're getting from the crowd, what's your MO for that? Do you get rid of something? Do you replace it? Or are you just, you know, I'm in love with this particular beat and I got to make it better? Or how do you navigate that? Like, the takeaways, the additions for things that you notice might not be 100?
Yeah, usually, the only flaws I've had with performing, a line where I have too many syllables and I'm like, I'll try and squeeze it in after a breath that I can't really get, and then I'd fuck up that line a few times. But the best thing to do when you're performing is just keep going and act like you didn't fuck up. So yeah, when I've realized I've done that, I will go back to that song, not to re-record it or redo it, but for performance reasons, I would take out a word so I can have a bigger breath, and then I'd be able to pronounce that line better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it happens. Yeah. You know, I mean, every artist goes through that shit, right?
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was a dancer for a long time, for about 15 years, on stage and stuff like that, and just tap, lyrical, ballet, all that stuff. Oh. And that's the common theme. It's like, it's a fake it till you make it, right? So even if you make a mistake or you screw up, you just keep 100%. just keep going, you know. And it was funny because I had a ballet teacher once, and she was Russian, her English was a little bit limited, but she would always say, "Don't look down, look, I'm the best."
Yeah.
You know, so
keep the confidence up, you know, like, don't show them that you fucked up, because a lot of the times people don't even notice it, you know what
it's
I mean?
So true. It's so true.
Yeah.
And it's so loud, and the energy is so intense too at a concert when you're in a live performance, that it's so glossed over by the music and by your surroundings that it's so true. Like, you as an artist would notice all these little things, and as you said, you're a perfectionist, right? So you would notice them, but nobody else would even know, right?
Music's a whole vibe, a whole energy. It just takes people over, and it definitely takes me over. I've seen things in my head. I've like, when I hear music, I see colors. I don't know if anyone else could relate to that.
Tell me about that.
It's just so powerful to me. Like with music, I feel like people are here with music, and I feel like I'm up here. Like it takes me somewhere else, and I really, really love music. You know,
that's wild. That's wild. Just your brain just hits another level.
It does. It just takes me somewhere else.
That's incredible. And do you see any particular like visions when you're in that mode? Like when you get into that mode, do you see like, is there a story playing in your mind? Is there like, do you kind of go on autopilot and you're singing, but you're not really, you know what I mean? You're in a different place.
With my music, it's just whatever concept I'm going with other people's music. Don't matter the genre, I will always see the music video in my head. You know what I mean? Even if the song is about something else, I'll have a different concept in my head and visuals in my head of a music video. I used to go to sleep a lot with headphones on and rock music, and I'd always picture myself in the music video, and I'd like put me to sleep and shit. So yeah, a lot of visuals, a lot of colors, and music's very powerful, man.
Did you have any crazy fucked up dreams when you do that though? Because sometimes you dream about what you hear about that.
I'd be like, what the fuck? Like I I'd go to sleep to like some like
hardcore shit.
Yeah, like I love Deftones. I don't know if you know that band. When it comes to rock, I love Deftones, Slipknot. Perfect Circle. So I'd usually fall asleep to that. I'd wake up freaked out. Not knowing where I am.
So. You wake up, you're like, dude, did I really kill that guy last night?
But it definitely helped me fall asleep during those times. So that's
good. For sure. Yeah. If you were to, so here's a question for you. If you were to paint a vision of the music in your head, what would that look like?
It depends the song, to be honest, man. I do have paintings. I was at a stage in my life where I was painting for like 2 months, and they're nothing like too crazy and shit, but usually the style that I wish I could show you, but I don't have them there. They're more of like graffiti, just weird stuff, like drugs. Like I remember I did one with a big mouth and girl's lipstick, and she had a pill on her tongue. And usually when I was listening to that shit, I was listening to a lot of hip-hop, Caskey and all that shit. But I don't really go by the song that I'm listening. I just go to that, like, the idea in my head, and then I'll just put background music on.
That's awesome. You should get into do you have any with your art and stuff like that, do you have any NFTs out?
NFTs?
Yeah. Like NFTs, non-fungible tokens. Those NFTs that are on the blockchain?
No, I have none of that.
No. Oh, you should really get some NFTs out there for your music. That'd be a great way to like.
Yeah, I need a manager, to be honest. I need something, man. Like,
okay. Well, anybody who's listening to this who's in the management field, you know?
Yeah, all around me, man. I got the talent. I just like, there's so much I could do, man. There's only so much I could do. I can't manage my shit. I can only promote so much of my shit. You know what I mean?
It's tough when you're doing it all on your own.
So that could help me with all that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a kid.
I have a family.
I've got a friend who's in the NFT game. I'll connect you with him.
Oh, cool. Yeah, appreciate
it. I mean, you know, just to get some insight too, might be something you're interested in, right? Too. And there's
100%
a DJ that does some really sick like combos and vibes. I'll send you his information too. Maybe you guys can do a collab or something. That'd be kind of dope.
100%. Yeah, I'd definitely be down.
Yeah, he's definitely got a different. His name's Eric Rhodes.
Okay.
He's actually in Idaho, but. He was on the show earlier. I'll send you the link for that episode. But
he
does some like really super dope like mixes and stuff. So super, super cool to put some of your stuff on track with that.
Hey, I'm all about, you know, expanding and growing and connecting with other artists.
So. Yeah, I love that. I love that. So where, when you write, when you produce, when you put out a piece of music, is there a overarching theme of a place that you want to take listeners to? Is it one spot? Is it one theme? Or are you hoping to take people on a journey, a different journey for each song?
I find I always end up in one type of area with my music, which I'm trying to get out of. I usually end up in a dark place. I end up in the more dark beats and ambient style type shit, storytelling. Either that or just like getting a boom bap beat and ripping up like straight bars and different metaphors and shit like that. That's what I love doing. But I am trying to aim towards more of making, not going commercial, but making more of like a hit, you know, something that people could bounce more to, you know, the girls could dance to and all that shit. I am sitting on a track like that I'm working on, that I'm trying to, you know, release properly with the music video and promotion and all that shit. So I recently have been working on something like that, and I am sitting on it. But like I said, I'm trying to, you know, get out of that dark hole that I end up being in with music, and trying to make more of it a hit and all that shit. So
do you think that's important for artists to evolve like that and to switch it up a little bit?
Hey man, a lot of artists are just known for their own style of craft, and as people grow, I'm not gonna hate on it. And a lot of fans do get pissed off from it, like, oh, like what happened, like for example Machine Gun Kelly, even this artist like Skate that I know. He was like super like gangster rap type shit, and then he went like Skater Boy, and it's just like you grow a whole new fan base, so you can't really hate on it. I don't really hate on it so much, but yeah, it's always cool to try something new.
Find like artists like Jelly Roll is kind of in that flux too. Like it's a balance between a rock and a hardcore and a country kind of vibe, which is like a really interesting space to be in.
He went like country rap to kind of more country singing and shit now, I think, right? Am I correct? And I love his shit. I follow Jelly Roll, and I think it's totally cool what he's doing.
Yeah, I really enjoy his music. I love his, but his lyrics too are a little bit, you know, it sounds like a sweet, nice melody, and then some of the lyrics are hardcore. It's like, it's such an interesting space to be in.
It's totally cool to blend certain, I guess, energies and moods into together with music, because it creates its own genre to me, you know. So
yeah. What's your vibe on working with people, like as a producer? Do you work with anybody, or do you have a particular vibe of people or artists that you want to work with? Like, is there something in particular that you look for in people when you want to align yourself with them and work with them?
When it comes to my production, I really don't care who wants to rap on my beats. Mm-hmm. I obviously want like a good artist, but if I'm selling you a beat exclusive, then I kind of care about, you know, how many years you've been doing it. I don't honestly don't want like anyone dropping shitty music or shitty lyrics over this beat that I put so much work into, you know what I mean? But if I'm leasing you a beat, I'll lease it to any artist to just rap over, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When it comes to like me rapping with artists, I have a track with Habakkuk Mobb Deep. I have a track with Little Fame of MLP.
Nice.
We didn't connect in the studio together. It was all through like management.
Yep.
Online. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a cool experience, man.
Yeah.
And I'll collab with the local artists if, you know, they're up to par with me, you know. But
Yeah.
I won't just collab with anyone, you know.
Yeah. And it's great that we have that kind of technology now that we can do things like that. Like Zoom and online and stuff like that has been like a real godsend for a lot of collaborations too. Yeah.
I'd rather honestly fly out there and connect with them in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Shit. Yeah,
it's
get that real vibe.
Different.
Yeah, for sure. Make that connection, that personal connection. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
One day.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we can't talk dollars and cents, but can you explain a little bit that production process in terms of, like, you mentioned leasing or selling of it? Because I think that for artists too, there's so much, and I've mentioned this one before on the show, but just with artists and masters and all that stuff, like Taylor Swift was a great example of, you know, what happened to her with her masters and buying them back and things like that. How does that kind of work in the production world with, do you sell a beat? Do you, like, you talk about leasing it out? Like, how does that kind of work?
So yeah, leasing, I do, like, all right, I'll talk to the artist. So I'll be like, would you rather lease it or buy exclusive? If they don't want anyone else to have the beat, they'll buy it exclusive. They'll get the trackos, the waves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they could build up themselves, or they could put all the breaks they want into that beat when they record on it. Mm. With lease, you just get a flat out MP3 or wave. Mm. And then you can't really fuck with it as much as you want, right? So the price difference is odd. It's, you know, the big gap with the price difference from an exclusive to a lease. Mm. Like I said, I won't just sell anyone an exclusive beat unless I think they're up to par with it.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a big to-do recently, I guess about 6 months ago, with Ed Sheeran. And I would love to know your take on this, with people coming and suing different artists for having songs that sound the same or having similar beats and things like that. And I think it kind of sort of has reached a head where people realize that, you know, there's some stuff that are just going to sound similar. I mean, there's only, you know, Ed Sheeran won his case, and the, one of the main underlying foundations was that there's only seven chords that, you know, a person can use, and you got to build off of that. So there are going to be some songs throughout the history of time that are going to sound similar. Not everything is a rip-off.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. What's your take on that?
I feel like a lot of artists these days are taking older songs and resampling them. Mm. Sampling is a huge part of hip hop from the early stages of hip hop. You know, I mean, that's how it kind of started. So that's probably a big issue in the music industry now, is not chopping up the sample properly where you can't notice it. But like I said, a lot of these like new commercial hits these days, it's a lot of like remixes of older songs. Mm. But I feel like they're big enough artists to get in contact with the previous artists that did the original to be like, listen, can I remix this or, you know, sample this? And they'll get the permission to, and then they won't have to go into this whole
just have that respect,
not getting permission.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I do a lot of sampling with my production, and I just try and chop it as much up so they don't notice that I've used their sample, if they end up hearing it, which I doubt they will, but who knows.
Yeah, it's a tricky bitch sometimes, eh? It's gotta, absolutely. Kind of, it reminds me of these, you know, on TikTok, you see a lot of these crafting moms redoing those Starbucks cups.
and
they're using all these Starbucks cups and selling them on their website. I'm like, how are you not fucking getting sued for that?
Yeah,
like,
I guess they're just taking a risk.
And I guess for Starbucks, someone's still buying their cups, right? So I don't know, it's interesting, but it's definitely that imitation game is definitely out there for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely out there for sure. Yeah, across the board, not just in music, but across the board for sure. Yeah.
It's definitely a risk.
When you're writing, when you're putting out a track, do you prefer to do it solo, or do you like to have other people on your songs, or, I mean, apart from?
Lately, I've been wanting to do more solo stuff.
Yeah.
It depends the song, or if, I won't lie, if I get lazy, I'll be like, all right, one of my homeboys, you'll hop on this, and he'll do a verse and I'll do a verse and then we'll write the hook and then the track will be done.
Yeah.
But most of the time I don't know if my boys like if or whatever artist sent them around in the studio, they're like, yo, let me on that. I could be pretty greedy and be like, no, man, I got a lot more shit I want to write to this. So I'll take over the whole beat and I'll do a solo on it. So.
Yeah. Well, if you ever need a, you know, Timberland interlude, you know, your girl's right here. Yeah. Right, hop in right, with a, yeah. All
right, yeah. Do some ad-libs and backups for me. Yeah. Yeah, you got the mic right there.
Absolutely.
Sounds dope.
I wanted to get a little bit personal, if I could, for a second.
And, yeah, of course.
And ask you, I know you touched on earlier about music being an outlet for you and some things you were going through in your earlier days. But now, at this stage in your life, how has the game changed for you and music changed for you and your process changed for you being a husband and a father and a family man? What's the difference there? What's the thought process there, if anything?
I'm not a husband. I am
single. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. But I do have a kid. And like, I mean, I'm a family man because I love my family, obviously. And I want to do the best I can for them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just
ladies, musically. You heard it. He's single. Okay.
I could say it saved me in a lot of ways, you know, getting me out of depression. If I'm in a certain mood and I put on music, I'm just like, okay, like how could I evolve out of this dark time? You know, how could I elevate? Like the last few years were hell for me, you know, and I went through some shit I don't really want to talk about, but
yeah.
It's just, if it wasn't for music, if it wasn't for me producing or sitting down and just expressing how I felt and what I'm going through, like, I feel like I'd just be, you know, trapped.
Mm.
Everyone should have a way of getting out of something, but maybe if it wasn't music, I'd have another way of, you know, doing it other than, you know, going to the gym and all that shit. But music definitely really helped out a lot.
Yeah.
And I lost my cousin in a car accident a few years ago.
Sorry.
And she's, you know, she's like a sister to me.
Hmm.
Few weeks later, you know, I wrote a song about it. My family heard it. It brought us all together, kind of, you know, they heard it and they're like, wow, like they heard some things on there that were personal that they didn't know. And I feel like it just brought us all closer together.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So,
that's incredible. Yeah. It's like journaling in a sense. In a way, it's
kind of putting it out there for the world to hear, though, you know.
yeah. It's there's a meditative quality to it.
For sure.
I think the ROI on writing is exponential. You know, when you have something in your head and you put it down on paper, and not only just get it out of your mind and your system and your soul, is you're also injecting, you know, that feeling into it. And then, like, as you said, putting something out there that people can relate to, you know, maybe not be the exact same experience you had, but they can relate to, well, yeah, I fucking feel depressed right now. Or yeah, I have those fucking deep, dark thoughts too. And like, you know, there's, you know, you share a camaraderie with your listeners and with your audience. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. As I grow as an artist, that's been more of a thing for me, to connect with my fans and just connect with people and help them out. So
yeah, absolutely. And do you have a son or a daughter, if you want to say?
I have a daughter, yeah. She's 14.
Does she connect with your music at all? Like, how is her?
She is so sick with the electric guitar right now. Yeah, man. So my dad's in a band. He's been in a band for years. He like opened up for like Kim Mitchell back in the day. Like,
oh, nice.
It's like 10,000 people. You know,
those,
I mean,
Patio Lanterns, huh?
Yeah, that's what I mean. He passed on it to me, right? And my dad, he actually did a lot of guitars in productions that I've done, right? So I'd make the beat and then he did the outro of like his electric guitar, and I'd incorporate that in my music. And it's just amazing to know that you have family members that you could actually create a project with and just like listen to him and be like, yo, that's my blood, you know?
I love that It's a family affair.
So eventually I want to do that with my daughter. I want to get her on my beat. So,
That'd be sick. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Is she into the same kind of genre of music? That does she like the same genre of music, or does she like, oh, dad, stop? You know?
It's not just guitar too, man. She's writing lyrics, like rapping and all that. So it's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
And I'll help her through it. I'll guide her. I'll give her some tips and all that. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's really cool.
That's incredible. Well, outside of music, what are your hobbies? What are you into? What you love to do? What you all about? What you saying? Who you seeing?
I'm all about art. Like I said before, I love painting. I love cooking.
Oh, you love cooking? That's amazing. Yeah. I don't have that quality.
I went to college for culinary. So.
Oh, fantastic.
It's just everything creating and artistic to me. I'm just all about that. You know?
Yeah.
I don't like sitting in an office and sitting on a computer and typing up numbers. That was never me. Even in high school, I didn't drop out, but I did the co-op shit to get my credits. So I'd work for my credits.
Yep.
And that's how I got into cooking.
That's amazing. I think school should be more geared towards that, to be honest with you.
Exactly. It's not for everyone.
You know, Elon Musk, I don't know if you have seen this, but Elon Musk actually has a school of his own.
Okay.
That he has where the curriculum is based on what the child is good at. So the belief is that if a child is not particularly strong in, say, math or something like that, you're still going to get a foundation there. But you're not going to be forced to take, you know, the physics, the AP math, all those things. If the child is gifted creatively, all their training is going to be put towards that. And it's really child led.
That's amazing.
School. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's a lot of life skills that he interjects into his school, you know, how to manage money, how to grow a business, how to set up a staff, how to, you know, like really setting them up for a life as an adult and as a functioning member of society, to do things that they can be proud of and rely on themselves for and produce and put out into the world that are helpful, you know. And I think more schools need to be that way.
So I totally agree.
Yeah, I think the co-op thing is phenomenal. You know, not everybody wants to sit there and you know add A's and B's and.
Yeah, for sure. It's the kid's future most of all. That's the most important thing. So if you're just gonna put something in their face they're not interested in, how's that gonna help their future and career? So. I love hearing that. I think it's great.
Yeah. It would be super dope. I don't know if you ever thought about this, to have like an all immersive head top experience.
Where you
have like, say, cause they have, some artists have like a pop-up galleries for like a week or two. You could have, Yorkdale Mall is a great place for those pop-ups too.
Really?
You could go have a small space. People could come in. They could see your art. They could hear your music playing when they walk in. They could see your art on the wall. And then they could have like maybe some hors d'oeuvre or something that you created that you cooked or something like that. Like it'd be.
That'd be pretty fucking crazy. Actually, that's like a whole, package deal.
It'd be like a totally immersive head top experience. And then you could have some like little, pictures or some CDs or whatever you sign, people can buy. They can pick up or whatever and have some merch there. That'd be super dope.
I like where we're going with that. All right. Maybe you can help me. Maybe you can help me start that out. Where are you located, by the way?
So right now, currently I'm taping in Toronto.
So you are not too far away. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that'd be, I could totally see you doing that. That'd be such a cool experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've actually always been interested in like kind of coaching hip hop, like coaching artists. I want to, start writing. And I know they do stuff like that. I haven't looked into it too much, but I'd love to do that for like younger artists, to guide them through how to write, and different wordplay, looking at things in a different perspective. And
there's a great there's a great platform for that. I'm going to send you some stuff when we after we end the show.
Okay,
there's a great platform for that.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into it.
Absolutely. That's so exciting. So what's next for you in the coming 6 months, year, 5 years? What's the goal?
Like I said, I'm sitting on a track right now that I feel has a lot of potential, just to like kind of get that pop for me, that exposure. So yeah, I'm focused on, I'm about to get it mixed and mastered. I'm about to work on the video and just build my team right now and work on the right way of releasing the song. And hopefully it'll go somewhere.
Absolutely, it will go somewhere. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You've got a phenomenal talent and an incredible vibe and sweet nature. So absolutely, definitely. I think your heart and your intention is in the right place for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to throw my hat in to be in the next Head Top video for sure.
Fucking right.
One of my goals this year was to be in a video or a movie. So we're going to make that happen.
Yeah. This is the right song you want to be in the video for. So
excellent.
It's definitely going to be a party. Yeah. I'll definitely send out your invitation for that. All right.
That sounds good. I have a few questions before we wrap up here. Quick draw questions. Winter or summer?
Summer.
Tropical vacation or staycation?
Tropical.
Kraft dinner or mom's spaghetti?
Mom's spaghetti all day. Italian, man, come on. Italian Irish.
Kool-Aid or Gatorade?
Kool-Aid.
Ooh. Yeah. Hubba Bubba or Trident?
Trident, always fresh, you know?
Ketchup chips, yes or no?
Yeah, fuck with it.
Dill pickle chips, yes or no?
Nah.
Drinking the hot dog water?
Hell no.
Fuck that shit, yeah.
Drinking sexy little bath water before that.
Oh man, I've had a blast. I think this is great. I love what you're doing. I know we're definitely gonna see more of you on the scene everywhere you popping up. I want to see that immersive experience happen. Let's make it happen for you. Let's do that. Tell everybody 100%. Where they can find you, where they can reach you, where just shout out all your stuff.
All right, so yeah, my IG is Head Top Official, like a three.
Yep.
Facebook, search up Head Top, you'll find me. All platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, Tidal. Yeah, just, you know, Google me. You'll see Head Top if you type it in Google and see all my
social
medias.
You have a website?
Yeah. I don't yet. No, that's kind of under construction.
Okay.
But I just have like a SoundCloud with all my productions up there if you want. Like I said, just type in Head Top and you'll find all my music in there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I've had a blast. I've loved every minute of it.
Thank you, Jenny. Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me.
Appreciate it very much. Want to make sure everybody remembers to like, share, comment, subscribe. We really love feedback on this show, so make sure you DM me with what you liked, what you didn't like about the show. I'm sure you loved it. All the goods and all the bads. We love the feedback. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and have an amazing weekend. Have an amazing week ahead, and we will see you next week, everybody. Bye.
Later.